Hi there, this is Jay Arrett, host and producer of the Power to the Small Business podcast. And we come to the end of an era, and in just a few moments, I'll play for you the most popular episode ever of the first 99 episodes of Power to the Small Business. I started this podcast in December of 2007 after I met Larry Balin at Blog World. Larry wrote a book called Mommy, Where Do Customers Come From? And he encouraged me during a conversation at the old Blog World, which is now known as New Media Expo. He encouraged me, go ahead, do a podcast, Jay. And so I did. And Larry was actually my very first guest. And that was in December of 2007. And it was fun. I used to be in radio and it connected me with lots of amazing people. Some of my idols in marketing. I called up Jack Trout one time and asked if he would be a guest. And he said yes. And I was, wow, he said yes to be on my podcast, right? Gary Vaynerchuk. He was on there before Gary Vaynerchuk was more famous than he already was back then. And I made several friends through my podcast and I learned lots. But I also went in fits and starts, regrettably gone for most of almost 2 years with an occasional episode. And then I picked it back up at the end of last year, now publishing every week, almost at least. But it's time to focus and make my podcast more valuable to you. And I've always had a practical aspect to my podcast, so I wasn't just trying to have cool guests on the show. The objective to every episode was to give you something actionable. But it wasn't that focused. The format was mostly, what do I want to talk about this week? Or who would be cool to have on the show? Or what do I want to learn about? Because I would pick guests that I could learn from. So I've spent some time analyzing the podcast and the future of my business, The Marketing Spot, and it's changing. But now I've focused the podcast and in the process reimagined, reformatted, and renamed the show. And it will launch next week as a different podcast. Now you will receive it here in this feed as a bonus episode, but it will also have a separate feed and a separate website. Although you can always listen to it on the Marketing Spot blog too. Eventually, if you want to listen to it on iTunes or another podcast listening app, you'll have to subscribe to it in a different feed on iTunes or one of those other services. And it's because I'm currently on a service called Podomatic. That's how I store all my podcast files up on the web. And they make it tough to leave and take your subscribers. It's a mistake I made when I first started this podcast. I read a book called The Podcast Bible. And I guess scripture changes over the time. Podomatic was one of the ones that they recommended. So now I will rectify that mistake with the most current podcast technology and standards of practice. And besides, it is a new podcast with a different name, new show, same host, but a little bit more. Well, you'll see next week. So I invite you to come back next week. We'll premiere episode number one of the new podcast right here on this feed on April 23rd. In the meantime, following this preamble, I invite you to enjoy the most popular episode of all time from my first podcast child, Power to the Small Business. Now, this episode originally aired in September of 2009, and it featured Megan Duckett of So What? That's a theatrical curtains company out in, it's in Southern California. I can't remember exactly what city she's in. But I've always wondered, why is this one the most popular? And actually, for a long time, it wasn't. Episode I did a long time ago in the early days of my podcast with Jim Morris on Taglines, Tagline Jim Morris, was really, really popular for a long time. But over the last few years, the episode with Megan Duckett has overtaken it because it turns up in search engines. Evidently, there's a lot of searches for Megan, and she's a successful business owner of theatrical curtains, kind of a cool business. She's attractive. She's got an Australian accent, and she has a great philosophy on marketing. And all those ingredients combined make this the most popular episode ever. I will post the top five episodes of all time on my show notes at themarketingspot.com. So now, enjoy it. Here it is, the most popular episode of all time from Power to the Small Business. It's called From the Trenches, an Entrepreneur's View on Marketing. Here's Megan Duckett of So What? Strap it on. We're going down in the trenches for episode number 39. It's an entrepreneur's view of marketing with Megan Duckett, small business owner of So What?
Branding, experience, conversation, promotion, powerful marketing, empowering small business to change their status quo. It's the internet show all about small business marketing. Jay Arrett hosts the brightest minds in marketing. Power to the power. Small business.
She makes me sound so good. That's Mary Lynn Foster of The Big Success Show at bigsuccess.com. That's B-I-G-G, success.com. You know, we bring a lot of marketers here on The Big Show, but occasionally we like to shift paradigms, get a view from an entrepreneur's perspective. That's what we're going to do in this episode. You're about to meet a very smart lady by the name of Megan Duckett. She owns a company called So What. That's S-E-W, What. She makes stage curtains and theatrical draperies, and she does it for some big name groups and acts. But she's also a small business owner and a pretty smart marketer. She recently won the Dell Small Business Excellence Award, and I surfed across an interview with her in which she said some really cool things about marketing. And it's stuff that small business owners should hear, because it's not just coming from a marketing professional, it's coming from an entrepreneur. Now, a reminder before we talk to Megan, you can get the complete show notes from this episode on the blog, themarketingspotblog.com. So let's talk to Megan, and please join me on the other side of the conversation for some comments. And with me on the Skype line is Megan Duckett. She is the owner of So What. And So What does custom theatrical draperies and fabrics out in California. Megan, welcome to Power to the Small Business.
Thank you very much, Jay. How are you today?
I'm doing awesome. Well, give us a little background before we get into marketing here. So What? Tell us about your company and what do you do?
Okay. Well, it was this company was birthed on the kitchen table, one might say, actually. I moved to the U.S. back in 1991. Straight out of school. In fact, I'm originally from Melbourne, Australia. And when I traveled across, I was determined that I would work in the entertainment industry here, but spent many years kind of bouncing around trying to find my niche. I did have a variety of folk that asked me to sew things for them, random and strange, unusual things. Somebody asked me to line some coffins for a haunted Halloween house, for example, and some other people, some draperies for their home, and then yet again other people, costumes. Back in 91, I rented myself a little Singer sewing machine that I set up, as I say, on the kitchen table. All along, I started to develop an interest and discover that I had a talent that I didn't know existed. This was not something that I grew up thinking, gee, I can't wait to be a seamstress. As I worked my 40-hour-a-week jobs, I continued doing these home projects on the kitchen table. They outgrew the kitchen table. By about 1995, I'd expanded into the garage, and as I outgrew the garage, I recall I would open the double garage door and roll the plastic out onto the driveway in order to make my space bigger. And I would sit there in Redondo Beach at my single sewing machine and work nights and weekends. Anyway, so we kept growing, kept growing, kept growing. 1997, of course, tax time rolled around and discovered that I'd made more money sewing than I had at my 40-plus hour commuter job.
Well, first of all, as you're listening to this interview, I want to encourage our listeners to go online and go to So What, Inc. That's S-E-W-W-H-A-T. That's So What, Inc., I-N-C.com. Take a look at some of the stuff that they do at So What. It's pretty amazing. I've seen some pictures of your work. You guys do some awesome stuff.
Yeah, really big. I think the heaviest drape that we've ever produced was 1,200 pounds in a single piece. It took a forklift with you know, extra big wheels and all sorts of business to move it when it was all done and folded.
Well, you've been getting a lot of press lately, and you've won the Dell Small Business Excellence Award, and so I saw a lot about you online. I just came across, and I did some more searching, and then I said, wow, she's getting a lot of press. And something you said about marketing really struck me, and I'm going to quote it back to you here. You said, my marketing philosophy is as follows. Position carefully, maintain a customer-centric focus, develop a brand that speaks to who you are, not what you think the client base wants you to be. Let your passion for your product show in every piece of literature, correspondence, and advertisement. Last but not least, be brave. Sounds like you have the heart of a marketer.
I don't know about that. I think it's that's me now after learning a million and one lessons the hard way. You know, I mean, we've presented a lot of messages that were wrong, or a lot of messages that I didn't think through, or spoke to the wrong people. I mean, I remember putting a product on our website early on after we built it back in, I think I built the website in about 2002 or 2001, but I recall putting a product on there that just had all the wrong people calling, and, you know, at the end of the day, I ended up looking like a loser provider, because there I was advertising something I couldn't deliver. It was quite interesting, but what you sell has to be a part of you. You have to be passionate about what you're selling. You have to understand what you're selling. You have to know the people that you're selling it to. It's just not enough to have a good idea. I don't think that flies, and I think buyers are smarter than that, and they want to speak intelligently with somebody. I don't know that catalog shopping is that popular anymore.
In that quote that I read back that you gave, you said, develop a brand that speaks for who you are and not what you think the client base wants you to be. That's pretty hard for an entrepreneur to do, isn't it? Because we're always thinking, what would the customer want? What can we provide for the customer?
Well, the customer would want to hear, I'm perfect, I never make mistakes, and I never get anything wrong, that I always deliver on time. I mean, there's a whole list of things that the customer would want to hear, and it's really easy, I think, to get caught in the trap of wanting to communicate that message. But they also want to hear who you are, what you're very, very good at, what your talent is, and how that talent might benefit them, what's in it for them if they work with you. It's very important. I think it's very important. You know, yes, as a new business, it is hard to kind of walk that fine line and to find the balance. Like I say, giving the wrong message is dangerous. I mean, just giving the message they want to hear, if you're unable to deliver it, that's dangerous.
Well, let's take So What, for example. What do you say when you developed your brand and now you tell people who you are? What do you tell your client base who you are? What is So What?
We are a rockin' awesome team, like a family here. 13 years of newbies and oldies, and we love what we do. We do it 7 days a week, some of us 24 hours a day, and we know the road, we know the drapes, we feel the fabric, and we understand their needs, and that's what I tell them, because that is exactly what you got here. By the way, it's Corona Friday today. I mean, seriously, we have a great time doing this.
Corona Friday. We have Shiner Friday in Texas. It's a different area. <Yeah. laughs> That's great. So, okay, so that's what So What is. What are you not? What do you tell people that you're not, that they might like to hear from you, that you avoid telling people?
We are not the low price leader. There is a buyer. There is a buyer in the marketplace that is looking for price point. And price point and service don't always meet in the middle. You cannot be the provider of the greatest service and at the lowest price point. So, no, we are not the low price leader. We're also not a catalog company. For example, a question I frequently am presented is, why can't I buy things on your website? Why can't I click on something and buy it? Well, because we're all custom. Killer shows don't come from catalogs. You want something awesome? I'm going to make it for you, and I'm going to make it just for you. And there's no way you can click and point and have e-commerce do that.
You talked also about being customer-centric, having a customer-centric focus. Give us some insight on how you do that at So What. What do you do that's customer-centric?
Once upon a time, I used to take the bags, or take the drapes, I should say, and I would just fold them any old way. I didn't pay attention to whether the top was in the bottom of the box or the top of the box, whether the label showing the drape size was visible to the client. I didn't bother with any of that. I folded it, and I boxed it, and I shipped it. And a mentor of mine said to me, your customer see when they open your box? And I said, my drape. And what part of your drape do they see? I said, I don't know. It's not consistent. Could be any part. What if they've ordered 10 drapes? How do they know which drape is which? Oh, I don't know, I said. And he said to me, well, what if you pretended to be the client and you want one of those 10 drapes? How might you have boxed that differently? How might you have labeled your drapery differently or labeled your packages differently? How might you have communicated so that that client got to the gig, they're paying $60 an hour union labor, and they've got six boxes? What could you have done so that they didn't have to open five to find the sixth one? And it suddenly brought about the fact that if you can redirect your mind to consider the customer's need, not what is easiest for me, because it's really easy to package in 20 different ways, but 19 of them don't work for my client. That's just one example of being customer-centric. Making decisions that make the customer's day simpler, friendlier, easier, those are all values that you can take to your client. A client will pay more for that type of value.
I'd like to ask you about that because there's a common perception out there. I don't subscribe to it, by the way, so I'm going to agree with you, but I want you to maybe expand on this a little bit because you have already said you're not the low price leader. And so a common perception, especially when we're in a recession, is that, oh, you got to compete on price. You got to lower your prices. You've got to, you know, you've got to scrape for every dollar that you can get right now. What's your philosophy on that, or what do you think about that?
We haven't taken that approach in this economy at all. I think that if you lower your prices to a danger zone and you lower your margins without lowering your purchasing prices, then you run risk of essentially running your own business into the ground. So if you're going to lower your price, you need to make sure that that is kind of like in play with improved purchasing. But in this economy, most of the mills and most of the manufacturers, they're not lowering their prices. They're putting their prices up. So it's very hard to bring your price down. We approached what we saw coming, as did everybody. Everybody saw this change in the economic environment coming. I think we all knew it was going to hit like a wave. So we took a different approach, asked our clients, what is it that we provide for you that you wish we could give you more of, or what area do you feel we're not as creative in as we need to be? And in our particular case, the response was with our mixed media backdrops. People wanted more creativity and more customization with their digital printing. So we actually bought a printer, and we brought printing in-house, thereby improving or completely taking control of our ability to customize our printed backdrops for our clients. So we took a different angle on it. It hasn't been about lowering our price. It's been about being able to offer a greater level of design and creativity.
Wow, that's refreshing to hear, especially in times like this when people are shrinking and holding on and just, you know, into survival mode. You were in you had a different way of thinking.
Well, yeah, definitely. Well, there were a few folk that said, why on earth would you invest in a piece of equipment right now? yeah, don't get me wrong. There's plenty of naysayers out there. Nobody naysaying to us right now, I can tell you that. It was definitely strategically a very, very good move for us, you know, a very good move for us, not just for us, it's been good for our clients.
You're in a unique industry, Megan, and you hear some people in some industry say, oh, our industry is different, so marketing's different in our industry. How important do you think marketing is, even in a special niche business like yours? What emphasis do you put on marketing?
Well, I think that branding is extremely important. I think that creating a brand that is perceived correctly and presented correctly through your marketing efforts, I think that is probably the most important thing that any small business can do. We went through a rebranding, in fact. When I started the business, I developed the picture of us. I developed the brand very much around being homegrown on the kitchen table. It was very cute. It was very feminine, and it was very craft-oriented. And we had to get away from that cottage craft feeling in order to really break into the rock and roll industry. It, because the two don't play, you know. I mean, yeah, I'm making drapes for Metallica. Oh, and I'm so cute. I, you know, I like to do quilting too. It just doesn't work. So we went through a very big rebranding in like 2003, I think it was. Very, very painful for me personally, because I felt as though, oh my goodness, I was letting go of everything that I had created. It was very painful for me. I now look back and I say, why didn't I do it 5 years earlier, you know, 3 years earlier?
It seems like you have the heart of a marketer, Megan. A couple episodes ago on the show, there was a marketer. We were talking shop here, and he said he thinks for a business to be run correctly, the person in charge needs the heart of a marketer, or you need to be a marketer at heart. What do you think about that?
Yeah, it's interesting. I don't know that I knew I was. I don't believe I started out having even an interest or knowledge of marketing. I do feel I've developed it as an interest. I'm fascinated by web marketing, fascinated by search engine optimization, and intrigued by brand perception. I've read a lot of books. I've had 13 years to do it. Yeah, I really enjoy it. I cannot deny it. I do. I really enjoy it. Just like sewing. I really enjoy that, and I never knew that I would. So perhaps this is a moment for me to reflect, and although I say I've never been to school or college or university and I'm not studied, perhaps I need to remind myself that I'm self-studied and that there's something to be said in that.
All right, so I'm looking on your website now, Megan, and I see that you have made some stuff for some killer bands. Some famous names. Do you get to meet any of them? Do you have any juicy stories you want to give us?
They're all terrific. I enjoy working with all of my clients. No, really. I mean, I rarely interact with the actual artist. I did have the privilege of meeting Rod Stewart and pausing to have a photograph with him. And he was just so charming and thanked me for the draperies that we were made and did so in a very, very honest and gracious way. And I really enjoyed that. That'll be a memory that I think I'll have for a very long time.
So nobody like Sting or Elton John, you haven't invited them to Corona Friday to come out there? And
you know, I think they'd have an awesome time with us. We have a dress-up box in the kitchen, too. You know, you want to come hang out? I got all sorts of fun stuff going on here.
Well, what advice here as we wrap up, Megan, to the entrepreneur who's listening to this and thinking about what they need to be doing about marketing, what do you found has been most important for you in grasping this whole marketing concept and helping So What?
Most important is don't take a product to market unless you are completely certain that you can deliver the product. So I think the big lesson has been for me to do the homework, the research first, and then market it or take it to market, rather than what I used to do, which was have a great idea, slap it up all over the place, and then try it out on my clients only to discover that it was either not saleable or unprofitable or, you know, fell apart. I think that making clear decisions and always having branding first in mind. There's a difference between marketing and branding in my perception, or as I perceive it. Marketing could simply mean selling a product, whereas branding is telling your story and developing the theme of who you are. And people are more likely to buy what you got if they get who you are. So having that concept of brand first and then product second, and all along bearing in mind that the brand is who you are and then developing the product to what they need. You see, that's where the balance is between buyer and seller.
Cool. Okay, that's all the questions I have, Megan. Is there anything you'd like to add?
No, I just think everybody should be able to wake up in the morning and say, you know, I tried. So if at first you don't succeed, try again. I've started several businesses, by the way. A couple of them I don't have anymore. So, you know, it's a matter of being committed and doing it. Gosh, you know, this is the land of opportunity, and I am so thankful to be here, to have all of these advantages that we have here, and there's no reason not to take advantage of that as an American.
All right, Megan, this was great stuff. I appreciate that. It's good to hear from the business owner side sometimes. We talk to marketers a lot, but it's good to hear from the business side.
Well, I really appreciate it. Thank you very much, Jay.
Is that a smart lady or what? Megan Duckett of So What. Her website is So What Inc. That's SEWWHATINC.com. And remember, you can get complete show notes on the blog at themarketingspotblog.com. I'll link to Megan's website there. If you go to the blog, that's also where you can subscribe to this show in iTunes. Let Power to the Small Business come automatically to you. Or you can also search for it in the iTunes podcast store. Just search Power to the Small Business. It's free, and so is iTunes. So get hooked on podcasts. And if you'd like to add your voice, hey, call our comment line. We'd love to have you on the show. It's 254-433-8529. If you're calling from outside the states, it's +1-254-433-8529. And I'm still waiting on someone to send in the very first audio comment on the new comment line. You could have that honor forever, the first one. Now, if you have questions, you can also drop me an email to Jay, that's J-A-Y, at themarketingspot.com. Got a busy month of October and early November, 6 places in 5 weeks, but I'll keep the episodes coming. Look me up if you're going to be at Blog World in Vegas. Thanks for listening to episode 39. God bless. Please make sure you subscribe so that you never miss an episode of the internet show all about small business marketing. Power to the small business.
You've been listening to Power to the Small Business with Jay Arrett, the internet show exclusively about small business marketing. Please see the complete show notes at themarketingspotblog.com. You can also listen to the show online and subscribe in iTunes at powertothesmallbusiness.com. Never miss an episode of the internet show all about small business marketing. Power to the small business.